Radio. Radio. Radio.
The future of Radio Amy. A look at the future of Radio Amy, your community access radio station. This is Christopher England reporting.
Isn't it good to know? Capital Radio, where children love
them all. Turn on the friend, you can turn on the show. You can turn on the world with Capital.
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 Capital Radio, where children love them all.
Last Monday evening at 7:30, the IBA held an open forum on independent local radio at the Camden Centre in Euston Road. A leaflet given out at the actual meeting told us that the purpose of this open forum was as follows. The IBA and the ILR stations welcome views and comments direct from listeners and organisations on the programmes broadcast by Capital and LBC. These opinions help us to know to what extent Capital and LBC are meeting the needs of people and organisations in London through the information, music, news, sport, advertisements, general entertainment and material of more specialised interest which they broadcast. For example, what kinds of things do you think that Capital or LBC do well? What things not so well? What aspects of the information they broadcast do you find most helpful? Are there ways in which you think Capital and LBC can become more entertaining and more useful? Do you have any suggestions and ideas for new types of programming? This open forum is one way in which the IBA and the two radio stations can find out what listeners think of the programmes and what they want from ILR in London.
Present answering for the IBA, the chairman of the evening, was Sir Brian Young. He's the Director General of the IBA. Other members of the panel for Capital Radio, Mr. Aidan Day, who's the programme controller, Mr. George Fitch, Managing Director, LBC, Miss Felicity Lane Fox, Chairman of the IBA's London Local Advisory Committee, Mr. Ron Onions, Editorial Director, LBC, Mr. John Thompson, the Director of Radio for the IBA, and Mr. John Whitney, the Managing Director of Capital Radio.
Although all those present gave the audience the opinion that they were actually doing them a favour by being there and by having organised the meeting, the IBA is actually commanded by the Independent Broadcasting Authority Act to hold local independent and open forums on local radio.
Education, healthcare, the environment and the problems of minority groups such as homosexuals were issues many people felt strongly the broadcasters had a duty to give closer consideration to. Criticism of phone-ins was widespread. Many felt callers with good points or views with which the programme presenters did not agree were often curtailed, while others were allowed to waffle on. There is too much quantity of phone-ins and too little quality, said one man. And another member of the audience said too many callers were middle class and prejudiced. Another thought they should be more professionally presented with more guests. Others felt stations should concentrate more on individual regions of London rather than the whole city and examine their particular problems more closely. Access to the stations was a great source of discontent.
Genuine community access radio
for Barnet,
Camden, Enfield, Haringey, Hackney and Islington.
My name's Bob Collier. I'm representative. Well, I'm one of the team from Radio AB. We go out every Sunday with big fines of £400 to do the radio that people want to hear in North London. And I've got several points I want to make. One of my main criticisms of Capital Radio is the fact that not only half of us ever speak in American accents, but some of them, one who comes to Liverpool in particular, actually takes the piss. The licking out of people who speak with a Cockney accent. Now, I'm not born under the sound of the Bow Bells, but I speak with a Cockney accent, and I feel that Capital Radio should be associated with the Cockneys or the Cockney sound. Kenny Everett comes on the radio, and all he can do is take the mickey out of the Cockney accent. That's all I want to say to Mr. Day. Now, Mr. Young, I think you made a point earlier on about you saying London is too big, and I think once you said that, the meeting should be disbanded, because I think we should all go put a big bomb under Capital and LBC and start again. I think Radio Amy has been surviving for a year now with a hell of a lot of input from the community, and even, I've made a point actually for Mr. Day again, we've been doing community music. We've had 60 tapes sent in. One of the tapes we've actually been playing regularly has been requested, and they've got a recording contract. That's just something I'd like to play on as well. But I think we should restart, we should sit down and think a hell of a lot about London and maybe divide it up into smaller areas where we can cater for more special interest areas of the community, and we could even use a secondary rental from Capital. It only costs £100,000, £200,000 to set up a station.
Sir Brian Young, answering Bob for the IBA, said that it was a question of a lack of frequencies available for London.
I realise that, but there are at least 6 medium wave frequencies available in London, which we know.
Sir Brian Young admitted that there was a need for more stations in London, but said that priority was being given to areas outside London where there were not any local stations.
Bob continued.
It's still too big. London is still too big. Why don't we could even keep the 2 systems we've got, LBC and Capital, and just use those to complement a London-wide service and just have more community stations covering 6 boroughs. Miss Lane Fox is on the advisory committee. Can't she actually do something with the Home Office and tell them that we need radio in London? We need community stations around London urgently. We can't go on listening to this stuff all the time.
After Bob's question, the meeting was rapidly disbanded, and although quite a few people left, there were still many who wanted their questions answered, and the crowd surged forward towards the platform where Sir Brian Young, Mr. Aidan Day, George Fitch, Miss Felicity Lane Fox, Mr. Ron Anions, and John Thompson and John Whitney had previously been sitting.
Mr. Young, are you pleased with the service of Capital and LBC?
Am I pleased with the service?
Yes. Are you satisfied that it's providing a correct service?
It is better than some of the people here thought it. It is not as good as I and they would like it to be.
And then what are you doing about it?
You know perfectly well what we're doing about it.
Absolutely nothing, argue the Community Communications Group and many other small groups who want to use community radio, or rather independent local radio, on a community basis. We'll be hearing more about that in just a moment. You heard Bob earlier in his public speech mentioning one band that Radio Amy had been playing. This is that band. It's a band from Barnet called Canis Major. They've now achieved success. We'll be right back.
and it's major, one of our Barnet bands. They've now got a record contract with GTO Records. We're not claiming full responsibility for that, but I'm sure we had an awful lot to do with it. That's exactly what we're trying to do here in North London, and it's not only music. Everything that the radio can provide, we think it should provide.
After the meeting had actually disbanded, we spoke to one woman who had been rather vociferous during the actual meeting.
We're from Radio Amy, independent local radio.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Have you anything to do with LBC?
Nothing at all.
No, thank God for that.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
greatest, the biggest racist, the most insulting, the most scum of the earth radio station in the world is LBC.
Would you like to tell us why? Would you mind us using
your
comments on the air?
Pardon?
Mind us using your comments on the air?
Oh no, I'd love to.
Would
yes.
you like to tell us why?
I'll tell you why. Yeah. And you can put it on the air. I am very pleased because I'll tell you why. When the Irish people went to ring up to defend their awful insulting behaviour of LBC, some of them are Fleet Street journalists. Some years ago, I'm in the medical profession for years, and really, I think that some of them journalists from Fleet Street needs a psychiatrist. I think there's something medically wrong in the brain here, because I think there's something wrong with them. Really, either that or they're the lowest of the low.
They're only biased against Irish people.
Only the Irish since they started. Yes. Oh, it has been dreadful. You can shoot me up against the wall. It has made us nearly spit blood, the Irish people. And I had been to an MP's party, and of course his wife is a friend of mine, and I was telling, we were discussing, and people came along, Irish people, and they said to us, we cannot even ring to defend ourselves. Do you know what they do? Press the button. You were not allowed to speak as an Irish person. They press the button. How low can you get? Now, they weren't too bad with the colour people. Never mentioned the Jews, or they have no hatred at all against the Jews. Oh, no. The Jews, they can ring, they can do what they like, and they call them, yes, sir, and yes, madam, if you're Jewish. If you're Irish, you are press the button, and then they continued. Adrian Love, before he went to, Capital, before he went to Capital, Adrian Love, he says, he called us bastards over the air. George Gale went and said he works as a freelance journalist. He is the biggest racialist in England. The National Front are saints in comparation to George Gale.
Basically, the lady who wouldn't give us her name and didn't want to tell us where exactly she lived in London felt that the phone-in call programmes were not really held with the best of finesse. She accused Adrian Love and George Gale of being anti-Irish. It's come to our attention, though, that on LBC and Capital, quite often you get people ringing up with Irish jokes. But the question is, can you actually say whether or not an Irish joke is meant to be offensive? I mean, do you cut Irish jokes out because they're offensive to Irish people? Does that mean that you can't have a bit of jovial controversy? What do you reckon?
Well, me...
As a non-Irish person.
As a non-Irish person, well, I like the one about the wellies and where Irishman walks
it's
into
the cockneys all the time.
Shop.
The ones with the cockney voiced accent, the phone-ins.
What do you think about
they were inciting hatred
that the IRA might perpetrate?
What about your atrocities? They say you shouldn't be in Ireland at all killing us. What about your long cash? What about your notorious where you break our arms and where you bludgeon us and where we have no chair? It's our country. There's no two Ireland. You should get out to hell. You are Nazis. You are the biggest Nazis. Yeah, what about the black and tans?
Let me put this point
what about
here.
The you don't know about English history in Ireland.
We do. England,
we do.
Why do you stay here a minute
Why don't
longer?
You get out of Ireland? Why are you staying in Ireland?
Why don't you get back to
Why don't
Ireland?
You get back to England? What are you doing in Ireland
because
with your 32,000 forces?
I want to be seen dead over there.
You're all over there, you bloody murderer.
Can I interrupt
get
you?
Get out of our country. You stay too long.
Access Radio.
Are you
in Hamden, Enfield, Haringey, Hackney and Islington.
Sunday. 2-1-7.
Having escaped from that situation, our Ricky Stevens rather nervously approached Aidan Day.
We have been experimenting for a year with community access radio from a purely impartial level. And we find this, if you read our brochure, we find that our experiment has been a success. I wondered if you could comment on this sort of idea.
I've only just got...
What we do, anybody...
I must say that the fellow that said that we had 50% American disc jockey is actually not accurate. I mean, he was not accurate. I think if somebody is going to stand up, and this is a hopefully a professional meeting, a meeting of professionals, I think that if he's going to make comments, he really ought to get his facts right.
Yes, I appreciate the fact. Well, we are amateurs as such. We're not professional broadcasters, although we do try our best to put out a professional program every Sunday. But as I say, what we are finding that many people contribute, and we feel we have a listening public of between 3,000 and 4,000 every Sunday, broadcasting from 10 till 4, and. We feel we do a good job.
You move around, or do you broadcast to one area?
No, we move around.
I haven't heard you, so I can't judge.
Yeah, we move around within six London boroughs in North London. That's what it says in there is Barnet, Camden, Enfield, Haringey, Hackney and Islington. And
tell me what you think is basically, intrinsically wrong with the system as it stands. Tell me.
Well, with Capital Radio, we feel that it's a mirror of Radio 1, and that is all. Just continuous... pop music.
That is simply not true. That is not true.
Well, it's a national station. We feel it's a national station serving a local area.
Radio 1, as I understand it, does not do phone-in programmes, per se, does not do magazine programmes about London, does not do classical music programmes, does not do an arts programme, does not do vintage jazz, does not have presenters who talk about food prices, do not have people like Roger Scott who ask the punters what they want, unless they nick the idea,
yeah,
and they are not the same as Capital Radio.
Yeah, but your programmes on Capital are still based on a national level. Your magazine articles, your George Brown... Your George Brown talk-in, for instance, the George Brown programme is always on a national level. It's never on local London interest.
George Brown, unfortunately, is no longer with us.
Mr. Day, the articles on our station are all of local interest, action within our six areas, or else it doesn't go on. We don't talk about the situation in Uganda or international affairs.
Can I suggest something? I think that then you're underestimating your audience. I think your audience actually, I think the radio audience that listens to Capital are people who do wish to know what's going on in Uganda. I do not believe in small community radio. This is a fact. I do not personally believe in it. I think that London is a vast city, and I think where you can get a radio station where you treat people as members of London.
You see, we only go on...
And the art of interviewing is to wait till somebody's finished. I think where a radio station can actually get London, where it can get 4,000 people outside the door with cuddly toys in their hands, in the rain, to give them for a rock concert, is a good thing to do, because they're giving something to other people. I think for a radio station, I love it back, I think for a radio station to do something like a helpline, or to do something like a job finder, is a worthwhile thing to do, and you cannot do that, in my submission, in any real sense, unless you broadcast to a lot of people. You cannot broadcast to a lot of people unless you're professional about it, unless you compete against it. And everybody seems to feel we have a monopoly in London. We don't. We have the BBC that we're competing against. They are the best broadcasters in most areas in the world.
Yes, I take that point. But our point is that we broadcast for limited hours on a Sunday and to a limited area. And if anybody wants to, going back to, say, the situation in Uganda, if anybody wants to hear that, they can tune to Radio 4 or any of the national stations. But if they want to hear community access news about their community, then Radio Amy, at the moment, is the only station where they can get this.
Any, Radio Jackie do that in East Molesey?
Radio Jackie is a purely a music station.
What Aidan Day could not realise talking to Ricky Stevens just then was that Radio Amy is in fact the first. Community radio has never been properly tried except by Radio Amy, where it has worked as a great success. Capital Radio is a great success, it's a new thing, it's pop music, and that does appeal to the wide majority of listeners. On the other hand, I consider it to be brainwashing.
Surely, if Capital Radio is supposed to be a local radio station, some of its content should be about the local area. Some of its broadcasting should be from the local area. What we object to here at Radio Amy, and what many people who were at the open forum on independent local radio last Monday objected to, was the general aloofness that Capital Radio puts towards anyone else within its catchment area, which, for some reason or other, seems to stretch from John O'Groats to Land's End. They should, we argue, have a defined catchment area, i.e. Greater London, and they should stick to that area editorially and broadcast to those perhaps 8 million people, as opposed to broadcasting for as far as the radio waves travel. And we argue that their programming is not local radio. It is pop radio on a local basis. There is a difference.
In fact, we estimate that only 5% of Capital's output is in fact either from or even for the community of London. London, it's hard to define it as a community because it is such a large community, and we think that it is absolutely necessary that it should be split up as soon as possible. Capital has had 6 years, the IBA has had 6 years, LBC has also had 6 years, and not much has come of it.
No one is broadcasting to London. Okay, fair enough, we can't keep on and on and on expecting them to come off their hobby horses and start broadcasting to London. So what we're asking for now, and what a lot of other people are asking for now, is more radio stations in London. Little local radio stations about the same size as Radio Amy.
don't know what it's called, I'm afraid, because he didn't send in a track listing, but we know it's by Bernie Tyrrell's Jazz Men, recorded in a studio, and they play every Sunday live at the Salisbury Public House in Barnet, and that's High Barnet Tube. In fact, you can see them there now, or very, very soon today, right now, here from your local radio station.
You're listening to Radio Amy, and we have a feature that we're in the middle of called The Future of Radio Amy. It's here every Sunday, starting at about 12 o'clock. Today we're looking at the Open Forum on Independent Local Radio, held by the IBA last Monday at the Camden Centre in Camden Town Hall. There were several pressure group members in the audience, and we asked them what their reaction was to the meeting and the way that it had been held. The first person we spoke to was Peter Lewis, press officer of the Community Communications Group.
I haven't had time to talk to my friends, but as far as I'm concerned, I was disgusted by that meeting. It illustrated the total impossibility of trying to discharge your obligations to take public soundings about matters of importance like broadcasting, when you hire a hall in election week. Be fair, they didn't know it was going to be election week. You hire a hall and get a few hundred people in, and they sit on a platform raised up above these people and are able to take questions in an hour and a half. What did that cost them? I suppose that and the Battersea meeting maybe cost them £1,000 at very most. And they think that discharges their responsibility. We were report fodder. We are going to be in the annual report of the IBA. We held public meetings to ascertain public opinion about Capital and LBC. It's just not good enough. They've got to find better ways to do it.
Oh, another ComCom member here. It seems to me absolutely ridiculous that public accountability for the IBA means holding two public meetings in, is it 5 or 6 years, and we get 1.5 hours each to put forward our point of view. And I'd like to underline what Bob Collier said at the end of the meeting, that there's no way you can provide a local radio service to London when it transmits to the 32 boroughs. It becomes a completely unmanageable thing. It's got to be broken down into much smaller areas to be a truly local service.
May I have a word? As a member of Self Help Radio, I would like to say that I found the whole effort a complete and utter farce, very, very disappointing, and I hope that if they hold any more, they will be considerably better organised and managed, and the public will have a better say, and that the members on the platform will actually take note of what we were saying.
Pete Edmonds of the Local Radio Workshop.
I think we probably got as much as you could hope to get from a meeting like that. We knew it was going to be steered from beginning to end by the IBA. The best part is seeing as many people around here that are actually angry about local radio now. This is the largest gathering of people I've seen in London, of people who are cross about the way Capital and LBC run their affairs, the fact that the IBA do nothing. There's been from Local Radio Workshop, ComCom, Self Help Radio Group, AMI, all sorts of people arguing about local radio. I hope we can get as many people along to Capital and LBC's own premises when we've got our batch of programmes ready. And I hope Capital and LBC have worked out their positions a bit more carefully in the next couple of months when we come to actually argue with them face to face.
Thank you. That was Pete Edmonds of the Local Radio Workshop. The Local Radio Workshop is a team of people who are producing programmes and hopefully trying to get them aired on local radio stations. They're trying to get access on local radio and not finding very much success at all. Well, you've been listening to the section of the Community Chess programme which starts at midday, called The Future of Radio Amy. And we've been looking at the IBA public meeting held last Monday in the Camden Centre, Camden Town Hall. And I think the two main points that have been reached here, aid, wouldn't you agree, are that, first of all, Capital and LBC are not local radio stations, and secondly, that aside, and that accepted, and them severely castigated for that, the future of radio needs local community radio stations like Radio Amy.
I hope we've spurred your comments on 363-1963. It's up to you, it's up to us, well, all of us, but particularly you, because we've done our bit. We're not finished. 363-1963. Please telephone us, let us know how you're feeling. And I'd particularly like to hear from you if you were at that meeting, and especially if we gave you one of our pamphlets telling you to read it and report back.
If you were at the IBA public meeting last Monday, or if you've been listening to the past half hour or so and you've got any comments, please ring us now on 363-1963. If you find the lines engaged, wait another 5 minutes and then ring again. Don't give up. Please try and get through. But if you can't ring, write to us. The contact address is Radio Amy, BM Box AMY, London WC1. That's Radio Amy, B for Bertie, M for Mother, Box A for Alternative, M for Media, and Y for You, London WC1. That's Water Closet Number 1, you see there. Radio Amy, BM Box AMY, London WC1. That just about wraps it up, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it. I'm glad that's over. I thought they were pretty super interviews, actually.
Mm.
I hope you enjoyed listening to them.
Aidan Day and various other people there showing you exactly what they're made of. Here's a request now for Nicholas Rolfe and Jamie Rolfe. Sorry we didn't have available the two records you wanted earlier on today, but we've just remembered you and we thought we'd play you this. Hope you like it. It's Blondie.
Debbie Harry, Blondie and Heart of Glass, especially for all the Rolfs, Nicholas and Jamie in Lavender Hill.
Well, last week we broadcast an item about the National Front meeting held in Islington, and that caused quite a reaction on 363-1963.
I mean, I deplore the National Front for what it stands for, but this is a free society, and by the law of the land, people are allowed to hold political meetings.
Mm. So the way you see it is that people, regardless of how strange they might be, or sort of... How cruel or possibly, you know, dangerous they might be, they should still be allowed to hold meetings.
Most certainly, because it's if you do that with the thin end of the wedge, you see, then you would, if you did that, you'd start it with something else like the Socialist Workers' Party, say, oh, well, that's extreme, you can't hold it. You do it with the Communists, they can't hold a meeting. When you say the Monday Club, oh, no, they're extreme, they can't hold a meeting.
Yeah.
Then they'll say, oh, the Tribune Group said, oh, well, in my opinion, I don't like them, they're extreme, they can't hold a meeting, it'll be the thin of the wedge.
Yeah.
If you didn't allow them to hold a meeting, you'd drive them underground.
Yeah.
That was found in the last war, you see, you mean to say, we'll let the fascists hold a meeting, so when the war started, we're able to, when you knew who they were, and just swooped on them and nabbed them.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the fact that people organise these big rallies, the protests, the anti-Nazi League? Do you think that they should be encouraged to let people express their feelings towards...
Well, it shouldn't be encouraged. I don't think the government's encouraged, but you see, at the same time, it's very, very hard. I mean, I think the whole thing is disgraceful. I mean, to say... Both of them would turn us into a slave state.
So you think what the anti-Nazi League etc. are the same as the National Front? Really?
Yes, they're both totalitarian. It'd be terrible for both if ever any of them ever got power.
I think they should have enough meetings. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, personally, I don't think they should, because I think they're going to get killed themselves. They're going like kamikaze pilots.
Yeah, but don't you think though that if you say that the NF kind of legislated against to make them illegal, that people would turn around and say, well, if they're illegal, so should be the Socialist Worker Party, or so should be the Communist Party, or something like that. And the whole thing of this country is that it is a democratically free country, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one good thing. But I mean, NF. Their ideas are so bad, and every meeting, I mean, there's always riots, and I think it's their own safety.
Yeah, but the riots are, in a lot of cases, perhaps not necessarily caused by them, or rather...
Yeah, but they do provoke.
They provoke, yeah, I would agree.
But National Front, now, I wrote a letter, and it was actually published in the Gazette about, 3 weeks ago, and the Labour were on about banning them, and the Conservatives said they had a right. I thought, well, I don't know. So I got my typewriter and I wrote him a letter.
Mm.
And in it, it was simply quite a straightforward thing. If you don't like what they're preaching, don't even bother to acknowledge they are there.
Yes.
In other words, don't attend the meetings, don't rally against them, just let them get on with it, pretend they're not there, and they'll go away, or at least they'll think. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now,
I think...
if you rally against them, or if you ban them from meetings, they've got a sick idea, you see. They seem to think if a bloke's black or non-white, then he's no good, which I do not agree with, personally. I think you... Well, I do. I accept people on...
Merit. Individual.
Personal
thing,
you know. I don't give a damn whether they say way I, or whether they say okay, or whether they say, oh, yes, man. Yeah, I just don't care. I accept people as people, persons, if you like.
Yeah.
And if I don't like somebody, it's not because he's black. It's not because he's white, it's not because he's a dustman's son, it's not because he's a lord's son, it's because I don't like him, personally.
Yeah, because it's an individual thing that you agree with, or disagree with.
Mm, exactly, and I'm wondering perhaps if your station couldn't perhaps put out the view, it's an idea, put out the view, look, don't get yourselves a bad name by ranting against them, simply say, look folks, there was a meeting in Islington, or wherever it is, keep away, ignore them. If if the local newspaper makes a splash about them saying this and that, write to the editor, tell him next time he does that, you're not going to buy his paper.
Hmm.
Things like this, you know?
Yeah, but the point is, I think, to be fair, a lot of the problem that happened, and, you know, we heard that terrible sort of situation in Southall, a lot of the problem comes from people who are on the left organising these big rallies, pointing, you know, it's almost like manufacturing a gigantic neon light arrow pointing to the National Front, drawing a lot of attention to them, and people are either going to fall, sort of ordinary people are either going to fall on the side of the National Front or the Anti-Nazi League, as they call themselves. And I think, to a degree, a lot of our sort of problems with tension are being caused, possibly, by the Anti-Nazi League.
I've already said this.
Yeah. So, but yeah,
people, you know.
Yeah. But what do you do about it?
The voice of your London.
2 1 7.
Three voices there. The first was that of Walter Baird, who lives in Marylebone. Then you heard young Mila from Hampstead. And we followed that with Rex, slightly outside of our catchment area. He was calling from Hemel Hempstead.
Perhaps you'd like to follow it up. The final call finished with the question, what do you do about it? 363 1963 will get your voice on Radio Amy. If you don't want to come on, you don't have to. Anyway, what does it matter as long as you've got your health?
That's the next song. It's sung by the Hackney and Islington Music Workshop. Before that, though, a little reminder. Up next, it's Mark talking to a fortune teller about her predictions and the things she can see that we can't see.
When I was just a kid, everyone told me that God's most precious gift was a healthy body. Eat well to feel well, my mother would say. Work hard and play hard was my teacher's way. Be clean to the vicar in thought, word and deed. And preacher and teacher and mother agreed that if in life you don't succeed, what does it matter as long as you've got your health? You don't need wealth. When skies are grey and you've lost your way and tomorrow's the same as yesterday, doesn't matter a jot as long as you've got your health. When I left school I went to work in a factory, loading machines I was just a mechanical monkey, bending and lifting all the long day. My arms are on strike and my back's giving way, my eardrums are thundering in my brain. Over and over and over again, I think I'm probably going insane. But what does it matter as long as you've got your health? You don't need wealth. When your day's work's done and you want some fun, but you're too bloody tired and you're feeling numb, doesn't matter a jot as long as you've got your health. 10 years or so I've been smoking like a chimney. When I saw those ads I knew it would make a man of me. I fell for the call of those cool mountain streams, the glamorous girls and the magical dreams. I've been saving the free gift voucher since I was young. It's time I collected the prize that I've won. I think I'll choose the iron lung. But what does it matter as long as you've got your health? You don't need wealth. Though you stink of smoke, your voice is a croak, you cough so hard you nearly choke. Doesn't matter a jot as long as you've got your health. I live in a two-room flat in a...